Hey there, I'm Priscilla. I'm so glad that you're joining us for the Chat with Priscilla. This is a place where you can just come and relax and hang out with me and just talk about some things that I hope will be inspirational to you, challenging to you, and today I think informative to you, really informative. You know, we live in a culture where being broke is kind of normal, being in debt, being strapped financially. That's what we see all around us, and for many of us, that's what we were raised seeing by our parents. But we're talking to a guest today who's going to help us to break all of that in our lives and to find wealth in the sense of freedom in our lives financially. I cannot wait to talk to Rachel Cruz, so stay tuned. I want you to listen to this. Normal in America, Dave Ramsey writes, is broke. So if you do normal behaviors, you will be broke. And if your kids are financially normal, they will be broke. So he says, this book isn't for normal people. It is for people who have figured out that normal is not good enough. This book is for weird people. People who are willing to act differently in order to become wealthy. He means free financially. And wealth is so unusual and abnormal that we must say it really is weird in our culture to have financial freedom. So if your goal is to take mediocrity to the grave and to raise children who are perpetuating your stupidity, that's why I love Dave Ramsey. He says, then this book is not for you. But we are weird people in this studio audience today, and I know you are too, people who don't want to be strapped financially. You don't want to constantly go to your grave worried about what you're going to do about your finances. More importantly, we don't want to pass this on to generations to come. And so I'm so excited because Dave Ramsey has this little daughter, sweet little daughter named Rachel Cruz. Rachel Cruz learned from the best, and now she is passing on her financial wisdom one generation to the next. I wonder today if you will please help me to welcome the daughter of Dave Ramsey and the author of the number one New York Times best-selling book, Smart Money, Smart Kids. Welcome Rachel Cruz, please. Yay!
Thank you so much.
So great. Thank you. Have a seat. I have been waiting to talk to you.
No, it's been so long. I feel like we've been waiting for this.
I know, because our paths have kind of crossed, except not crossed, because we've kind of been in the same circles a little bit, but we're there different times.
We pass each other in hallways.
Yes, but I do know your dad. We've met before. Your dad introduced us to each other.
Yes, that's right.
And your dad is a remarkable guy. We have to kind of start by talking about him just a little bit. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, I take it as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
It's good. I've accepted it,
yes.
Right? I'll always be Dave Ramsey's daughter, and that's
yes.
a great thing.
And you know what? People do that to me, too, because I'll just always
that's
be
right.
Tony Evans' daughter. It's just the way that it is. And it's okay, because they're good dads.
Exactly, exactly.
They're
I'm not embarrassed
dads.
By it most of the time, but you know.
Well, your dad is very straightforward. He's very direct. He believes what he's talking about. If you don't know, he is uh-huh. How would you describe him? The foremost voice in our country for financial...
Financial being,
yes,
right?
And
I don't
freedom.
Know. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he wants people to be out of debt and be free.
100%.
How long has that been his life's mission?
Sure. Well, I actually was born in a very interesting time
yes.
in mom and dad's life. So I was born the year they filed for bankruptcy. So I was born in April and they filed in September.
Okay.
So my whole life I've watched Dave and Sharon Ramsey figure out God's ways of handling money. So I've had that front row seat in a sense. So ever since I can remember, you know, they were very intentional with us growing up. I think a lot of people think we had mutual fund parties and budget camps all the time. And thankfully that wasn't the case.
I'm so glad.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be horrible?
Yeah,
wouldn't that be horrible? So I think that's one thing people assume. That when you want to teach your kids about money, that it has to be this crazy big, philosophy and we have mm-hmm. to talk all about it. Where mm-hmm. honestly, living it day in and day out, your kids see that. So that was a big part of growing up as Dave Ramsey's kid.
Okay.
And understanding money is watching him
yeah.
and mom.
Okay. What did you see them doing to climb out of that state of being bankrupt and mm-hmm. to this place of freedom and wholeness in their finances? What are some of the things you remember as a little girl watching your mom and dad do?
Sure. Well, going into debt was never going to be a part of their story again. They drew a hard line in the sand and said, no matter what, we're not borrowing money because the borrower is slave to the lender. And they felt that so much, obviously, because they filed for bankruptcy. And so they were a one-car family for many years. I mean, they really stuck to that. So, I mean, little things. I remember my mom, since we didn't
okay,
use credit
wait,
cards.
You're about to run on past that point, and that is so huge.
What?
You just said something that we all have to get. The borrower is going to be a slave to the lender. You're going to feel enslaved to who you have borrowed that money from,
exactly
the interest
right.
that is piled on top of that, that you're constantly trying to pay back. So
Absolutely.
You really do have to draw a line in the sand and say, if I don't have cash for it, I'm not buying it.
If you don't have the money, don't buy it. Shocking financial advice, isn't it? Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's common sense. We all know it, but to live it out day in and day out here in our culture today, it is so hard. So to draw that line in the sand and say, no matter what, we're not borrowing money, you become weird. You know, like you said in the intro, you do. And so for mom and dad, you know, I never saw them have a credit card even. And so I remember mom using cash at the grocery store, and she had an envelope and it was labeled groceries. And I watched her pull two $100 bills out and pay for groceries. And I was 6 years old. Yeah. And I remember seeing the $200 bills and thinking, you know, it was like $2 million to a 6 year old. I couldn't believe it. And so that was my memory of realizing, okay, that's how much groceries cost. And so just seeing them play out and being in church and watching dad drop a folded check in the offering bag, you know, watching them give and all of this. And so that was the powerful thing, is that more is caught than taught.
Yeah. And you know what I think is so interesting is that you said you saw these bills, you saw a $100 bill. I think that most of our kids today see credit cards. That's what they see. They're seeing the debit card and they're seeing the credit card. Because how many of our kids have said to us when we say, I don't have the money for that, and they're like, well, just pull out that little card.
Swipe out that plastic thing.
They don't even know what it does. They're just like, pull that thing out. You know, that works.
It's so true.
But when you see a bill, your children realize that actually, there's actual money that has to go into these groceries coming
that's
into our
exactly.
house.
And the thing that happens with actual cash, too, that your kids see that's powerful is that an exchange happens. You give something, you have to let something go in order to gain something else. Mm-hmm. Where when you swipe, you know, there's a mentality, okay, you get your thing and you get to keep. There was no exchange happening. And so to watch something leave in order to gain something else is a powerful lesson, even for adults, right? I mean, when I spend with cash, it hurts more.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when I lay that $100 bill down at dinner, it's like, oh, Uncle Benjamin, right? Like, he's leaving me. Like, I miss him. So so you feel that versus just throwing, you know, the credit
Uncle
card.
Uncle Benjamin, that's good. Well, I like, you know, so many things about your dad. But I love that he says here that if you want to raise your children to perpetuate your stupidity, this book just isn't for you. And
that's
I love that you're basically saying to us that your parents decided we are tired of our own stupidity and we are not going to let this be Rachel's story. We're going to teach her differently. And so many of us just have to make that choice. Just decide that we're going to change the trajectory of our kids' life. So you watch your children, your parents use cash. You watch them draw a hard line in the sand that they're going to just cut up those credit cards and put them away.
Yeah.
And then you watch them make sacrifice, because you were starting to mention the whole one car situation, for example.
Oh,
what
absolutely.
Other sacrifices did you watch?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, coupon clipping was like a normal going and shopping with mom. I mean, she would pull out, you know, 6-7 coupons and, you know, just those kinds of things and saying no a lot. We never went out to eat. I remember we could go to the Olive Garden the Sunday after our birthday. It was near our church. So the Olive Garden was like our big thing. And so now I love going out to eat, because I was like deprived as a kid, right? So I'm always like, oh, I love restaurants. And so, you know, but those things, we went to Sharon's Kitchen, is what they called it. So we had to go home and eat. And you know what? Just for encouragement for parents out there, I survived.
Yeah, you did.
I was okay.
Yeah,
you know?
You're
and
right.
I think so many parents think, oh, if I can't give my kids these things, if I can't let them experience this and this, you know, they're going to be deprived. No, if anything, I think it builds stronger character to see boundaries and to see limits and to feel that.
I really think, and I struggle with this. You know, I'm a mom of three boys, and we're going to bring, for part two of our conversation with Rachel, we're going to bring some young people out here and let them ask their questions to Rachel. But I really struggle because, you know, I've got getting ready to be 13 next week, then 11 years old and 7-year-old. And I'm realizing that just because one generation does better than the next, you know, you probably are doing a little bit better than your parents were, and you're, you know, your children, you want them to do a little bit better than you're doing. So I realize that a lot of the things that I didn't have access to as a kid, my children do, and they don't even, they're not even thinking twice about the fact that they have it, because it's normal to them that they have it.
Absolutely.
That they're going, you know, I didn't go out to eat on Sundays either. It was like mom cooked on Sunday.
That's right.
My kids just, when I say dinner, they run to the car. They think.
That's great.
Because they think this is normal, you know?
That's
so,
right.
So you watched your parents sort of pull back the reins and cause you to understand that to get, you are paying something. You are giving something out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to do. And that's the thing, is that as I'm a mom now of a 6-month-old, right? And I want to go cash out my 401k every time I go into the Baby Gap, right? Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, I could just buy all this stuff all the time. Yes. So I know it's hard, because like you said, you want to give your kids a better life, but I believe give them a better life that you can pay for. And so mom and dad at that point, they couldn't pay for it. And so we heard no a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful for that. And I think that's one encouragement for parents, that no matter what mistakes you've made, your kids are your clean slate. Your kids are your do-over. And so don't stop your money mistakes and saying, well, I live paycheck to paycheck. I have so much debt. We don't have savings. We don't budget. We're horrible with our money. It doesn't matter. You can still teach your kids how money works. Your kids can have a different story. And I'm a product of that. I'm so thankful that coming from parents who are bankrupt, that they didn't say, oh, well, that's it. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We're stupid. We're bad with money. Our kids don't have a chance. No, they took the opposite approach and said, okay, no, we're going to instill this in their kids. Yeah. So just because you're not great with money right now, I want you to get your act together for your own sake financially, but you still have the right to speak into your kids' lives.
Okay, this is what I remember that my dad taught me about finances. And as I was thinking about talking to you, I was just reminded about this. Dad always said to me, here's the formula for always having money. This is little kid growing up. I remember being 5 and 6, he said this to me.
Yeah.
He said, you always, for every dollar, you give to the Lord, you save, and then you spend. You give 10% to the Lord without question. Mm-hmm. You save at least, if not more, 10% of what you have always, and then you have left to spend. And that little formula, if I had a dollar, we were putting a dime in the tithe, we were putting a dime in a little jar, and then I had 80 cents left to spend.
That's right.
And I realized now as an adult, because my father said that to me growing up, that's just what I do. It's just what I do. When we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about whatever sort of things you heard your dad say to you at 6, 7, 8, 10, 15 that really did inform and influence your life as an adult.
That's great.
Okay, we'll talk about that as soon as we come back. Stay tuned. Hi, I'm Priscilla, and I wanted to take an opportunity to invite you personally to join me for a 7-session Bible study on the armor of God. We'll dive deeply into what it means to be equipped to stand firm against the schemes of the enemy. He is very real, and he has been so strategic and targeted in his attacks against us. Why shouldn't we be equally strategic and targeted in standing firm against him? And you and I have an opportunity to suit up, to put on some armor that works, and to go to battle and to see victory declared in our lives and in the lives of those people that we love. This Bible study will be one that will change our lives forever and will help us to walk in victory. So plan to join me, won't you? The armor of God. Welcome back. We are having a great time talking about financial freedom with my brand new friend, Rachel Cruz, who is joining us today. I'm so glad that you were here. We were talking about before the break, the lessons that your parents can teach you when you're young. You know, my parents taught me lessons when I was young. And literally one of those lessons, for example, was you don't need a credit card. Do not get a credit card. And I listened to that. I did not listen to everything my parents told me to do, but I did listen to that. And I will say, I have never been in debt my entire life because I just, and when you're not in debt, you feel like you have money, even if you're not wealthy, but you're not constantly shelling out to a debtor. And so not having a credit card when I was in college and racking up that debt really provided for financial freedom in the future.
So
what are some lessons when you were young that your father just sort of, and your mother, repeatedly shared with you that informed your decision making later on in life?
Well, our parents must have been good friends because the give, save, spend mentality was something. And I think that's huge because learning that as a kid to give, save, and then spend. Because when I talk to so many adults and you know, helping them with their own finances, you know, we're looking at their budget and they say, well, Rachel, I want to be able to give. I want to be able to spend, I want to be able to save, but I don't have any money. I don't have money to give and to save. Because by the time I pay all my bills and my budget, at the bottom, there is no money left. I tell them, well, that's because you have your budget upside down.
Okay.
You give first, you save second, and then you pay bills.
Okay,
and
so what happens, though, when you do that, you're saying turn your budget upside down, you tithe, you save. But what if somebody's saying, wait a minute, that doesn't leave enough to cover all of my bills. Don't I need to take some of this savings and apply that to this telephone bill that needs to be paid, or my mortgage that needs to be covered?
Absolutely. Well, your four walls want to be covered. Your shelter, so your rent or your mortgage, your food, clothes, and transportation. So those four things need to be covered. Now, that doesn't include cable. That may not include out to eat. So if you can't give, save, and then pay bills, you need to cut some of your bills then. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some places that you cut. Because people who win with money, they're mostly usually very generous people. They give and they serve people. That's mm-hmm. one of the reasons they've mm-hmm. won. And they save. They have money saved.
Yes.
And so those are things. And those are biblical as well. In the house of the wise, there's stores of choice food and oil. A foolish man devours all he has. Wise people save. So it's all through Scripture. This is very biblically based. And so I would say cut your lifestyle in half, or see if you can
Girl,
fix
you
the
just
income.
Stepped on some toes. You
I
just
know
took
I
somebody's
did.
Manicure away.
I know. And I love a manicure, right? And so that's the other thing Mom and Dad taught me, which was great, is that it's okay to have some nice stuff.
Yeah.
Just don't let your nice stuff have you. And your stuff can have you in two ways. It can have you if it owns you financially, if you go into debt for it. And it can own you if your identity, your happiness is wrapped up in that thing.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so that was huge, because I enjoy shopping. I enjoy getting my nails done, right? Priscilla, look, I did that for you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I got a manicure for the nail. I don't do manicures.
So I do. I want to be able to spend and enjoy my money. And so that gives me a good balance that it's okay to have some nice stuff. Just don't let your nice stuff have you.
And unfortunately, the culture we live in, the ideology of our culture financially, is the exact opposite mm-hmm. of what you're describing. We yeah. do not live in a culture that celebrates the overall win for your life. If you restrain yourself in areas that are honestly superficial, but our mm-hmm. culture has grouped them underneath the need category, that yeah. you need, just like you need four walls, you also need to have this particular furniture inside those four walls. And
That's
you
right.
also need not just to have the television. You can't just have primetime TV stations. You have to have the NFL package as well, or HGTV, or Lifetime, or come on, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? We have to have all of this stuff to go with it. So all of a sudden we find that our needs have
sure.
blossomed out of control, and we're trying to keep up a lifestyle that is keeping us in debt and in bondage. And how do we get to a place for the person that can't let the cable go? They can't let their bi-weekly or bi-monthly trip to the salon go. They just feel like, oh, I have to do that. How
right.
do you even begin to cut yourself free?
Sure. Well, I would say I want you to get to the place where you can be able to have that kind of stuff again. So I want you to have to make short-term sacrifices for long-term gain. So cut the lifestyle for a year or two while you get out of debt. You know, as much money as you can throw, the deeper you can cut your sacrifice, the more money you can throw to be debt-free. When you don't have payments, it's amazing what happens.
Mm-hmm.
When your income comes in and it's yours, you get to decide what to do with it. I've realized that debt is a thief. Debt not only steals your income from you, but it steals your peace of mind. It steals your sleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
It steals your motivation for why you go to work, because you have to pay Visa and your student loan, right? It changes so much. It steals so much from us. So when you can be free from that, not only financially does the income come in and you have your income, you mm-hmm. get to go get the manicure or go to the spa, whatever you want to do, you have the money to be able to do that now, and the freedom that comes with it, that
yeah.
you don't owe anyone anything.
Yep. I love that you and your dad have written this book together. I love it so much. If you do not have a copy of this incredible book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, you need to get it. Obviously, particularly if you have children, this book is going to be a blessing to you. But beyond that, if you don't have children, you still need this book, because there is so much wisdom inside of this book that is just good for you, whether you are a child or whether you're just childlike in managing your finances and you're just needing good advice to help to get you to a place of freedom. But speaking of raising children, I loved this particular part of the book, and I wanted to ask you about this. This is you writing, and you say, work was never an option in the Ramsey house, no matter how young Denise, Daniel, or I were. From the time I was 5 years old, I was working on commission. Listen to this, y'all. Mom and Dad didn't believe in giving us an allowance. Dad hated that word. It implied that a child is allowed a certain amount of money just for living and breathing. I love that so much. And your dad went on to talk about how allowances, the mere definition of the word allowance, is that you're making an allowance for someone who is not able to do a task.
That's right.
So we're actually, do you think, crippling our children by enabling them in a way to feel like they do not have to put out or exert effort or energy, and they are rewarded financially for that?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's a whole generation that has a disconnect of where money comes from. And you have to have this foundation that money comes from work.
It doesn't fall off a tree.
Right, right. It doesn't come from mom and dad's back pocket. It doesn't just grow. It comes from a plastic car, right? You have to go to work. And so the great thing about that, and I think some parents think it's harsh, but to be able to let your kids do some chores around the house, get the commission. If you do the work, you get paid. If you don't do the work, you don't get paid. It's kind of shocking, right? It's like an adult, right? We experience this on a day-to-day basis. And so to be able to make that connection, not only once they have that money and they earn it, when they give it, they're giving their money from something that they've earned, that they've sacrificed. When they save it, they're feeling that. When they spend it, they feel it so much more emotionally. There's so many teachable moments when your kids earn money. And sure, there's going to be chores that they do around the house because they're part of the family, and that's fine. You know, the kitchen for us growing up, we didn't get paid on anything. We had to bring our dishes to the sink. When we got older, we had to clean the kitchen, do the dishes, right? So like that, we didn't get paid on. But little things we did around the house. And for that, again, so grateful because that work-money connection, and once I made money, I got to feel it. And I got to experience, you know, the good and the bad with having money.
Do you think that this issue of work ethic is really what will help us to solve this problem of a generation of young people that are entitled?
Yes, I think entitlement, I think that's a huge subject. We could probably have a whole other show on this.
And can I say that I get nervous about that with the boys? Yeah. I get nervous about them just because, again, we live in a culture where so much is available to them. It's so readily available to them. They are blessed, as many of our children are, to, you know, live in a place that's just comfortable for them. They've got a bed to sleep in. They have good food that's on the table. And you worry about your kids expecting the next iPod just because it came out. I mean, I'm just like, no, you may not have a phone. I don't care if your friends have a phone.
Yes.
I refuse to get you a phone because I don't want you to think just because it's available, you're supposed to have access to it. How do we keep our kids? What are some of the things you suggest to keep your kid? What's the balance between helping them enjoy the blessings that God has given them without also becoming entitled to expect blessings from God in the sense of tangible things that they're supposed to have?
Absolutely. Well, I think, one, the work thing is huge. When your kids can work and they can save and they can pay for something on their own, so much happens. They learn patience. They learn work ethic. There's so much around that. But I think a key spiritual principle for us as adults as well is contentment and teaching your child contentment. And so as I was looking at this, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. You have so much gain when you're content as a person, but it's so hard. And so for kids and adults, I think in order to be content, first we have to be grateful. And I believe in a heart filled
with
gratitude.
These are simple principles that hit you like a rock, though, don't they, when she says them? Because when you're not content, that automatically shows you that you lack gratitude in your life. And so when you just bought your kid those tennis shoes. You just bought them. They just got them at Christmas, and 3 months later for their birthday, they need a new pair of tennis shoes because they no longer like the pair that you just bought for Christmas.
Right, right. Oh.
Then that's telling you that they lack contentment in what you just gave them because they're actually not as grateful as they should be for the blessings that they're being given. Yeah. But it's not just our kids, is it?
It's us. Well, I mean, I went on a trip to Charleston with my husband about 2 years ago, and I was home for maybe an hour, and I was on Instagram watching this girl, and she was in Greece yachting through the Greek Isles or something crazy, right? And
I
was
your
like,
friends?
No, I'm my friend. I thought it was a fashion blogger. No, I'm not friends with her. No. But this girl, I don't even know, right? And I'm like, I needed to buy airline tickets to Greece. Like, I suddenly feel like I need to be in Greece, you know, which we couldn't afford. But I was looking at that. I was like, oh, Rachel, you just, I mean,
just
an hour ago, I just got back. And those are a moment where I had to put my phone down. I said, Rachel, you have, be grateful. Like, what? You just went on this. So I have to check myself so much as well on a daily basis.
And social media makes this all harder.
Oh, it's tough. I know.
Don't y'all think? Our kids can see everything that all the other kids have.
Yes.
We can see, you know.
Well, keeping up with the Joneses, you know, 30 years ago, you had to watch the Joneses pull their new car in the driveway. And today, the Joneses have 18 different filters on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they paint everything, and it's like, oh my gosh, they're always there. And I always get this a lot because I don't want to blame social media, but I think it is the vehicle which takes us down the road to comparison.
Yeah.
And when you start comparing, that's where things get in trouble. And so it's so hard. And I think parents today, there is an uphill battle for all of this, but staying consistent, staying in the Word, praying for your children, being those models, I believe you can raise a great child. There is hope for this generation. Yeah. There are going to be some great kids that come out of it. So it's exciting to see, because we see parents all over the country doing it, and it's really exciting.
Well, there you go. It's discipline, y'all. It's gratitude. It's contentment. And I think our kids are going to catch that as we are disciplined, are grateful, and are content with what the Lord has given us. You are certainly proof of that, because here we had two parents that were bankrupt the year that Rachel was born. And now she's sharing financial advice all over the world to students and adults alike. Again, you're going to want to pick up a copy of her book that she co-authored with her dad. Number one, New York Times bestseller. There is advice in this that will keep you from passing your stupidity and my stupidity down to the next generation. We can be financially free, and we can raise a generation of kids and grandkids, by the way. If you're a grandmother, a grandfather, this would be a great gift for you to begin to sow into the lives of your grandchildren, this new attitude about financial freedom. So remember, this is just part one of our conversation with Rachel. We are going to have a part two. You're going to want to check that out as well. But for now, would you guys please help me to thank Rachel Cruz for being a part of our program today. Priscilla, and I'm so glad that you're joining us. This is The Chat with Priscilla, and what we do is just kind of sit around together in a living room and talk about hopefully things that will inspire you and challenge you and be important to you, and plus, we just want you to have a good time. So grab a cup of hot something, you know, a latte, coffee, tea, whatever suits your fancy, and just pull up a chair and have a conversation with us, really this time around, about something that's really, really important. I've got some friends around me who are going to help, because today I am with someone who's been sharing something with us that is going to change all of our lives. Her name is Rachel Cruz, and together with her dad, Dave Ramsey, they are really changing the mindsets of people all over the country and the world when it comes to being smart about their money. So I wonder if you all will please help me to welcome Rachel Cruz back to the program today. Well, here's the deal. It's not just me and Rachel this time around. You need to know that this is part two of a conversation we have already been having. So if you have not viewed part one, you need to, because we had some great insight from our friend Rachel about how to raise children in a way where they will want to be free financially. They'll want to be smart about their money. So we've got a few cute, sweet, wonderful children up here who want to learn a little bit about what it means to be wise financially. And so I want to introduce them to you. This is Annalise. She is 11 years old. Say hi. Annalise is 11 years old, and together with her sister right there over there, that's Tatiana, right, Tatiana? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. This is 10 and 11-year-old sisters, and they are already learning about tithing, about giving back to the community, about saving, but they want to know how they can save and be prepared for things like college in the future and getting a car. You want a car? Yeah, stuff like that, and being wise about their money. And then sitting right next to her is Laura. Laura is a freshman. Hi, Laura. Laura loves to shop. That's what we heard about you, Laura. Is that true?
Yeah.
What's your favorite store?
It kind of depends on what I'm feeling.
Oh.
Change it up. Variety.
We can kind of understand that, right? It's what you're feeling. Yeah. Okay, but what's your favorites? Give me a couple of your favorites.
Like just the Forever 21. And like American Eagle.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Good for you. Bravo. Bravo. And then over there on the end is Jonathan. He is a high school senior. Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan is preparing to, you know, you're already preparing for college. And you're wanting to think about how to go to college, be wise about your money there. Hopefully scholarships are going to come in for you to go to school. And so your parents are going to be helping you with college if you need help. But also you just want to be able to be wise and be helpful. So we might talk about student loans and stuff like that as well. So what I want to do is allow Rachel just a few moments to kind of share with you some of her main thoughts about how to be wise in your stage of life to set you up good for the future. But then I also want you guys to be thinking about questions that are specific to you that you would really like to hear Rachel answer for you, okay? So, Rachel, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Well, for you girls, I would say the fact that you even know what tithing is huge, right? I mean, that's an amazing thing. So understanding that giving is important, saving is important, and spending is important as well. Learning how to spend wisely is great. So one thing I think you guys can do is to lay a great foundation for yourselves is to understand how to work and the importance of work. And so maybe you can ask your parents if you can do a few chores around the house. And so what I did at your age is I kept a chore chart on the refrigerator. So I had the chores listed out in the days of the week, and whenever I did them, I checked them off. And
now, are you saying you personally organized for yourself a chore calendar, or your
may not have been my parents that kind of initiated it?
Okay. Do any of your parents have a chore chart situation happening at home?
Not yet.
No. Do you have chores that you do?
Oh yeah.
You do, that you're responsible for?
Yeah.
Okay. So are y'all getting an allowance? Or do you get a regular allowance whether you do the chores or not? Or is your allowance kind of based on the chores?
No. Mine is no allowance.
So just chores, no allowance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about
mine's
you?
Mine's I get $10 every week just because recently and still we have football games and those are $7 to get in. So I always have that plus other stuff.
Okay, so what I heard about you, if I remember correctly, Laura, is that you get your allowance, but you get it on a debit card situation, right?
Yes.
So that when that money is gone, it is just gone. And then your parents also then kind of have a track record of how you're spending your money. Is that how the situation works?
Yes.
Rachel, what
That's
do you think
fantastic.
About that? Because we talked about allowance in part one.
Sure.
So what do you think about kind of a setup like that where money is given on a debit card situation so it can be monitored
Absolutely.
And so that when it's gone, it's gone?
Absolutely. So you're what, a freshman
yes,
in high
ma'am.
School? Perfect. So when I was exactly your age, my parents said the exact same thing. So if you have teenagers in the house, I would say to figure out the amount of money that you would normally spend on your kids and put it in a checking account and do exactly what you're doing. So you have your own debit card, you have checks, you may or may not write checks, but you have that account. And so for you, you have to learn the responsibility that when the money's gone, it's gone. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, when I was your age, I had my account for about 3 months and I got a letter in the mail from the bank.
Uh-oh.
Yes,
this is
not good, because I am a spender like you, love to shop, all of that. And so I ended up bouncing 3 checks out of my accounts.
Ooh.
Yeah, being Dave Ramsey's daughter and bouncing 3 checks is not a good thing. And so my dad actually made me go down to the bank and personally apologize to the bank branch manager. Yes. For lying to him.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I told him I had money in his bank to spend, and I didn't. And that's a lie.
It's a lie.
So at 15 years old, I went down there and had to go in this banker's office and tell him.
You know what? That's one of those, this is two decades ago.
Though, so I can talk about it.
You can talk about it now.
It's fine.
So this is 2 decades ago before there was this whole Facebook social media thing. Because there are parents now that have their kids standing out there with a poster board written on the poster board exactly what it was that they did. This was your dad doing this before social media.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I actually had to go see the guy face to face. It wasn't just posted. Yeah. So I learned my lesson. So I did learn that when the money's gone, it's gone, and you can't keep writing checks. So, but what you're learning is an incredible, incredible responsibility, and that's great. And I think that, you having that account and understanding how a debit card and checks and all that work, I think it's fantastic. So I would say yes, spending money is so fun, and I want you to be able to spend and go shopping and enjoy, right? We all love clothes. Mm-hmm. Us girls love clothes. But learning to give some of that and saving some of that as well, because those principles, if you start those principles today, it's going to be so much easier in the future. Because I think a lot of people think, especially high school and college students, that, well, once I have a lot of money, then that's when I can. Once I start making money, it's easier to do these things. And in fact, it gets harder. The more money you make, if you haven't put those principles in action, it's it's so much harder to do that. So if you can start out with a little bit like you have and give and save, it'll be wondrous. But you can still spend and go to the mall and enjoy.
I have to babysit and dog sit to get more money and stuff. And recently, I just finished one of those jobs, so I have that from doing it. And I my mom has it with her, so I don't spend it all.
That's good.
And
that's good.
So I because I always spend it at school because there's this coffee shop at school, and I
always
spend it.
It's always the coffee. So now that you have that money, what you're going to do is tithe with it. Mm-hmm. You're going to save some of it because, see, here's the thing. If you save, you always have money. You will never be without money if you've always taken a little bit out of everything you've gotten all along the way and kept some of it. Jonathan, I'm looking at you. You're like the strong, silent type over there at the end of the couch. I want to know what question you might have as you're kind of on the cusp of heading into a new season of your life. What are some of the things that concern you or that you're wondering about regarding finances?
Yeah, I think for me the big thing, along with knowing I'm going into college and hoping, you know, for different scholarships of different types, but also don't want to get in the student debt, and I'm not even sure totally how all that stuff works yet, you know, and so I know that'll be a process that I'll get accustomed to, I guess, and then also the saving, tithing thing is something I definitely struggle with.
Yeah,
and I'm not, you know, I mean, being in high school and trying to go out and make memories after football games, so we go to Waffle House and going out to eat all the time. And so going out to eat before the game and then going out to eat after the game and going out to eat
so
in between at halftime, I'm sure, you know. And so we're always trying to go out to eat, and so that the whole saving process isn't necessarily the first thing on my mind in those times. And I'll try to tell myself once every 100 or so times to not eat that time and then still end up getting something anyways. So those are definitely two areas that I'm struggling in and I know I need to be aware of.
Sure. Well, at least you're going to Waffle House and not Ruth's Chris, right?
Thank you.
You're just spending, you know, yeah. Or you can drink water when you go. Sometimes memories can be made with just water. I think those disciplines for sure in action. But the student loan thing is huge, and that's something that so many people struggle with and so many adults still carry around with them years and years and years later. And the thing about student loan debt that I've realized is that it's become so normal and that people really do believe this lie that you can't go to college without student loans, that you can't be a student without a student loan. And then what we've even done is say, oh, well, you know, go to whatever school you want to go to because you're going to be taking out loans anyway, so you just go and follow your passion, follow your joy, major in whatever you want to, you know, left-handed puppetry, that's fine, you know, whatever it is, go get, you know, and so it's just this, people just wander into this season of their life, and there's no planning, there's no preparation, and there's no one screaming at this generation, stay away from student loans. No one is saying that. They're saying, well, it's just impossible, so just go get them. And so what I've realized is that student loans are the roadblock to this generation. And so when you graduate with tens of thousands of dollars in debt, I'm finding that so many people aren't able to go do the things that they want to do. They're not able to go do the things that they feel like they're called to do.
Yeah.
I was talking to a
guy. You're already behind.
Absolutely. Yeah, and he was $90,000 in student loan debt. And I was talking to him at a college, and it was a very nice college, great college, but $90,000 debt. And he told me, well, Rachel, I want to graduate and I want to go be a missionary. I feel called to the mission field. What do I do? And I was like, you can't go to the mission field, right? I mean, you have to go get a job and pay these bills. Like, those bills are coming that you have to pay for. And so just realizing that, gosh, that he probably, $90,000, I mean, that's a mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. Without a house. And so just seeing that. And so just understanding, okay, if you stay in state, get that in-state tuition, or you get scholarships and grants. Oh, it's amazing, that free money and working. If the average college student works 20 hours a week, they can pay their way through an in-state school. Mm-hmm. And so those things combine, and it's not going to be fun, right, if you go down this route. Like, those 4 years are not fun, but if you work so hard in those 4 years and you sacrifice what everyone's doing, then the next 40 years of your life, you're free. You're able to go do what you want to do. You can take the low-paying job if you want, because that's what you want to do. You don't have bills to keep up with. So those 4 years of sacrifice is huge just to get yourself in a position where you are debt-free when you graduate.
We're going to talk more with Rachel Cruz and these incredible young people to make sure that they are put on the path to financial freedom. We'll be right back after this. If you're feeling discouraged and defeated, if you're a bit overwhelmed or maybe even feeling undone, if you're wondering whether or not your future has any hope of victory, then listen, this Bible study is for you. Strongholds are torn down by the Word of God. Fortresses are dismantled by the Word of God. When you place faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ is credited to your spiritual bank account. That you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I invite you to join me for a lesson in putting on the full armor of God. Our lives are going to be changed, yours and mine, because we're going to learn that we've got the victory in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Hey there, welcome back. We are talking to some fantastic young people who want to be smart about their money. They want to have financial freedom in their life. We've got everybody from 10, 11 years old, freshman in high school, senior about to go off to college. And of course, we have Rachel Cruz, who is joining us and answering all of our financial questions. Because whether you are 40 or 10, then you need to be taught how to be wise about your money. So that's awesome. We're so glad that all of you are joining us. One of the things that Rachel and I talked about in part one of our conversation was the issue of contentment, just kind of being okay with what you have and not having to have the latest and the greatest, the new thing. Talk about that from your own experience. I want to ask you two questions. I want to ask you if contentment is hard for you, like if you've just got the new sweater, but then Forever 21 comes out with the next sweater, like it has lace on the bottom of it instead this time or whatever, if it's hard for you to just be happy with the one you have. So I want to talk about that with y'all. Then I also want to ask you what you see in adults today, like your parents and your parents' friends. Do you kind of see them just always going to get the new, latest, greatest thing? Or do you have adults in your life that are kind of content with what they have? So let's start with the first question first. How's contentment and gratitude for you? Is it hard for you to just kind of enjoy what you have when you see somebody else with the next best thing?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Okay, tell us about that.
Well, like, say you're at school and everybody else has something that you don't have. It kind of makes you feel left out or something.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like other people say things that make you feel left out or do things that make you feel left out? Or is it kind of in your own mind that you must be left out?
It's sort of in my own mind. Like, say that somebody's, like, you think somebody's doing something behind your back or making fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you really just going through your mind and it's not really happening.
Yeah. So it's really something you're putting on yourself that you're feeling like I must be left out or kind of less than because they have that new thing and I didn't get that new thing. How about you guys?
Really not that hard for me, but sometimes it might be, sometimes it's not.
Does it depend on the thing it is?
Yeah.
The thing that you're looking at? Okay, what about maybe like the iPhone comes out or something? Oh, you're nodding. Okay, talk to us about that.
Well, everyone's talking about like the new 6S and stuff like that, and I still, like, I'm fine with my phone. I don't really care. It's a phone. Just, it all has the same apps and stuff, and you can text on it just like everyone else. It's just, because it's bigger and Siri has more capabilities.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I am fine with phones.
But what are you not fine with? What is something that you see other people have and it kind of makes you go, ugh?
Well, as I said, like shopping, kind of like clothes. Like, I'm fine with having like the clothes that I have. And obviously, like, if you just going down the hallway or like in the mall or something and you see someone wearing something like cute and you're like, oh, I want that. So
yeah,
it's not like I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, oh, I really want that.
Yeah.
So
if you were to discover, okay, maybe Jonathan, you can help me with this. If you were to discover that the thing you're looking at that this person has, that new phone or whatever, it's really cool and you really want it. But then you discover later through the grapevine or something that person actually went into debt to get it. So they didn't have the money for it, but they got it. And now it's really keeping them strapped. Like they cannot go to Waffle House now because they kind of can't go, but because they spent all their money on the phone. So if you found that out, do you think you would still feel a little bit of pressure to want that phone anyway, or would you rather have the extra money so that you can have the freedom to go to Waffle House? Which would you choose?
I think for me personally, I would keep what I had and not worry about getting the new phone. It's never, in terms of the new phone scenario specifically, that's never been a huge problem for me, I guess.
Or whatever your thing is.
Whatever it is, I guess. I don't know. I think it would be hard. I would probably try to stay on the side of just, you know, it's all right. I need to keep this one. I don't want to go into debt. But I think there definitely would be times of being around that person enough or seeing it enough and just realizing, dang, you know, that really would be sweet to be able to have that. Waffle House I can buy it from a friend or something like that, you know. But
buy one, get one free.
Exactly.
Try to
have my friends pay it off for me. But no, I think it would be hard, but I would definitely try to stay.
Mm-hmm.
On the debt-free side of things.
Do you think that what you notice in adults, your parents' friends, other adults you see at church or whatever, your teachers at school, do you think that what you're learning from the way they handle their stuff, right? Do you think it teaches you to be grateful and content with what you have? Or does the way you see adults always maybe wanting the next thing, spending more money, does it actually contribute to you wanting to pattern yourself after that and always wanting more? What do you see in the adults around you?
Well, if they're like wanting everything new, I think they're just foolish. Like, instead of saving, they're saving their money, they're just spending it all, and later on in their life, they're just not going to have any more.
Right. And does it influence you, you think, when you see that?
No.
You're such a wise woman at such a young age.
Yes.
What about you guys? What do you see in the adults around you?
I feel like I'm in a pretty cool place with my parents being mature enough and wise enough, and they've read all of Dave Ramsey's stuff, you know, and so they know that. But then also having three older siblings who are all 20, 23, and 25, and so they're all at stages of just getting out of college, and one of them not going to college, and so kind of realizing what... I mean, working on their financial problems themselves, you know, and trying to figure out. One just got married a couple of years ago, and so, you know, having my parents who are more wise in that and have experienced that more and kind of are a little more stable that way, but then also having older siblings to look up to and them realizing, you know, they're definitely having to cut back on a lot of stuff that they didn't have to worry about when they were my age, you know, and so starting to get to that age of when I'm going off to college, and then I know once I graduate there and I'm totally on my own and realizing, okay, I can't be having all of this. I can't be doing all the going out to eat whenever I want because I have to pay for my own stuff.
Yeah.
So I think being able to look up to them and kind of realize, I think I always had looked up to my parents and still very much do, and realize I want to be at that place where I can be very secure and stable in that way, but also realizing that where my older siblings are, realizing it's going to be a process of that. You know, it's going to have to realize, it's going to have to be cutting back on stuff. And,
Yeah. You
know, my older brother and his wife, they don't have a TV in their house, you know, and I heard about that at first and thought that, you know, that's the craziest thing in the world. And you get there and you realize, no, it's not, you know, and they're telling you, no, it's for the money reason of it. They don't need it.
That's good. Larry Burkett used to say that so many people spend the first 5 to 7 years of their marriages trying to obtain the same standard of living as their parents, but it took their parents 30 years to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's exactly right. I mean, you see people starting out the right way in a sense of like, okay, yeah, because you see what your parents have and you want to drive those cars, live in those houses, have those vacations, go to those restaurants, right? You want to live that life, but it took them 30 years to get there. And mm-hmm. So that patience aspect is huge. So that's great.
What are some of the lessons that you would want these four kids and kids that are watching and parents as well to know? What would you say are the top three sort of instrumental pieces of advice that you learned from your parents or that you have gleaned along the way as you've studied and become wise in financial freedom and information? What would you say are just the kind of the anchors that keep you headed in the right direction?
Sure. I would say for you guys, I'll stick with kind of the basics because I think they're great. I think spending. I want people to know you can enjoy your life. I want you, if you're working hard and God has blessed you, I want you to enjoy it. I want you to enjoy the out to eat, the shopping, all of that. So being wise with money doesn't mean that you live in a cave and collect lint, right? I mean, you can like have fun and enjoy. So I want you to feel that freedom to enjoy when you have the money. Number two, I would say stay away from debt at all costs. Stay away from debt.
Jonathan,
if you don't have the money,
did you hear that?
Don't buy it.
I'm just saying, because when you go to college, that's when you see all the people standing there with their little booths talking about how this is the interest rate that's going to be awesome for you.
And you get a free t-shirt and a free pizza, right? I mean, it's all there. So staying away and just saying no, I'm going to save up and pay. And it'll be hard at times, but I promise the sacrifice is worth it. And then lastly, I would say learn to be a giver. Learn to be generous. If you live your life with an open hand, you know, I believe, some money will leave and fall out, but that gives the opportunity for more to come back in. Mm-hmm. And you're giving yourself a position of not only your hand with your money, but also your heart, that you really are trusting God and saying, okay, I'm going to live my life like this. And being a generous person and serving people well, I promise you will get more out of giving than the person you're giving to. And if you can start that at your age, it's an incredible foundation to live just in your life and with your money.
Money is important. It is an important part of our life, but treating it wisely and being good stewards, well, God has a lot to say about that, and we're so grateful for people like Rachel Cruz because they help us to understand the principles that God himself put in place for our own good and for our own freedom. She helps us to understand that in words and ways and methods that we can really bring into practical areas of our life. So if you do not have a copy of Smart Money, Smart Kids, you are going to want to get it because it really will change your life. More importantly, it'll change the lives of the young people that are all around you. Would you guys please help me thank all of these incredible people who have joined me today? We're so glad that you came out. Thank you so much.